Thank you and welcome for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the March 12, 2023 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday in Lent. The sermon will be delivered by our pastor, the Reverend Paulette Nixon Willer.
You may stand in body or soul for the call to worship. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We shall come into your presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto you with our songs of praise. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For we are your people, the flock that you shepherd. We will know of your power as we listen for your voice. Let us worship the Lord.
Next is the hymn, We Bow Down.
First scripture reading from the Old Testament is Exodus 17, 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled And because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Come to our reading from the Gospel, John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her jar, her water jar, and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The word of the Lord. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, in 2002, I was an associate pastor of a large church in New Jersey. And one of my responsibilities was to lead the youth group. And I really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun. I didn't have any kids yet and wasn't married, so I was with the youth group constantly. And we did a lot of Bible studies and mission trips, and we also did fun things. And we were planning to go see Spider-Man. The new movie had come out, but there was a problem. It was PG-13. And the middle school youth group's parents, which I totally understand now, would not let their middle school children go and see Spider-Man. So I'm at the theater, and I decide that the middle school is going to see My Big Fat Greek Wedding because it had just come out. And I had no idea. I'd never seen an ad for it or anything. So I take the middle school youth group to see it, and I fell madly in love with this movie. I, you know, laughed the whole time, and I watched it again last night just to remember why I loved it so much. And I think I was also 30 years old and not married, and the main character in the movie was 30 and not married. Ryan and I got married at 31 when I was 31. Anyway, but so I think partly I loved it because I could relate to it. But I fell so in love with this endearing movie that just was so awkward and real, but tender and hilarious. And I told all of my family and friends that they must go see it. And I myself saw it 7 times in the theater. Crazy. So I said, come and see this movie. You have to see it. Well, that is exactly how the woman at the well felt. She fell madly, deeply in love with Jesus. And one thing that we miss is cue the music. It was a rom-com waiting to happen, a romantic comedy, when Jesus is sitting by a well, because almost all of the greats in the Old Testament met the love of their life at a well. So this is what the original audience would have thought. They, this is a meet cute moment from a romantic comedy where, you know, you have the woman who's carrying too many books and she falls, and then this man comes and helps her pick up all the books, you know, and then, you know, okay, they're going to fall in love by the end of the movie. So that is what the original audience is thinking. That's what the first century audience reading and hearing John is thinking. Oh, what? Jesus? Is that a well? He meets a Samaritan woman? Like, they're kind of confused, and they're thinking this. And that totally escaped me, but it makes sense. So she comes there to get water at noon, and we know that that is not a normal thing to do, to get water at noon, because it's hot, and you get water later on in the day, in the evening, when it's cooler. So she comes there probably because she's had 5 husbands, but a woman did not have the right to initiate divorce. So this meant that she had her heart broken over and over and over again, and was passed to another husband and another husband. So she's more of a victim. And then we have no idea why she's living with a different man now, other than we know that a woman on her own could not even really have money or property. So we don't know much about her, and we can't assume the worst, but we do know that she shows up there at noon, probably to avoid community. But what she finds is Jesus sitting there, and he talks to her. And why is this so shocking? I mean, it's shocking because, you know, a man talking to a woman, and Samaritan. So it turns out that the Samaritans and the Jews really did not get along. In 128 BC, John Hyrcanus was the high priest and ruler of the Jews, and he destroyed the Samaritan capital city of Shechem and completely destroyed their temple that was on Mount Gerizim. So they were enemies through and through. So there are just layers of violence and layers of boundaries between a Jew and a Samaritan talking. So for Jesus to ask water was so shocking. But he did. And then they have a conversation about where to worship. And this would have been significant. It would have been like if you've always had a question about someone from another culture or something, like the point that your culture has not gotten along with their culture. It was an honest moment of conversation. And this is the longest conversation that Jesus has with anyone in any gospel. And it's also a passage that was really special to me because when I was discerning ministry in the South, I was around a lot of voices who didn't agree with women in the ministry. And my dad said, well, the woman of the well was the first evangelist. So therefore, I think, of course, women can spread the word of God. But this woman has been named by the Greek Orthodox Church. Photini is her name. And there's a lot of things, you know, a lot of people have dreamt up more to her story over the years in all different traditions. And, you know, we really don't know. But what we do know is that this poor, isolated woman came and found refreshment, deep refreshment, someone who looked at her and didn't look through her, someone that saw her and cared about her, even knowing everything about her past. Just lovely. And she realized that what she was thirsty for was that relationship, that level of relationship. So when we look at thirst, we think about the Exodus passage, and the people, the Israelites, would have been really thirsty. The average temperature in the Sinai is about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and they had walked for miles and miles carrying equipment. So yes, they were thirsty. And the elders were there. They had seen God action in the past, and they trusted. But there were new people who had not seen God's action in the present time. And even the people, those of us, all of us who have seen God in the past, does it always help in the present moment? I mean, I know that there are moments where I'm like, Will God show up? Will there be resources? I mean, I think we all go through these moments of saying, God, where are you? Are you present? Are you with us? And one beautiful thing about Moses' leadership is he was called to go out in front of the people. So he had to see their thirst. He had to look at them, you know, and really know what was going on with them. And so he goes out in front of them, and God tells them to hit a rock. So the water didn't magically come. The water came out of what was already there. You know, Moses hitting a rock. And we find resources among us and for other people by looking around. Okay, what do we have? We can find these resources for the people that need them. But to deeply thirst, there's no shame in being thirsty because we are made to thirst. And it's wonderful that God met their need and God loved them and God loves us. And we're all called to be a community for the women at the well, for those in the desert wandering. We're called to trust God and to listen to where God is leading us to find the resources to help. So the woman at the well was told that God is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. So this would have been no small conversation. Is it right to worship on the temple that your people destroyed on the Mount Gerizim? Or is it right to worship at the temple in Jerusalem? And Jesus says, it's right to worship in spirit and in truth. And everyone can do that everywhere. So the woman finally says, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking to you. So scholars say this is the first I am statement. You know how we have, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am, which is reflective of the Old Testament Yahweh, I am, when God revealed God's name at the burning bush. So Jesus is basically saying, I am God, which, you know, is very shocking. And so she goes and tells everyone. The woman left her water jar. She had no more need of it and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Come and see. So these three words, come and see, are spoken with passion when you really believe in something. So just like I really believed in my big fat Greek wedding, and I told everyone I knew to come and see it, I was not the only one that told people to go and see that movie. This surprised me. It is the highest grossing romantic comedy ever. It made $350 million worldwide. So ever in the history of film, it was the most popular romantic comedy. And it's because people went by word of mouth and told others to come and see it. And this is actually how Christianity was born and developed too. It was by word of mouth. Come and see. Come and see that this Jesus has made a huge difference in my life. Come and see that the body of Christ, the church, being together, being community for all, has changed everything. And that is evangelism to me. It is from the deepest core of your being, telling others, come and see for yourself. There's this wonderful thing, come and see. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you love us so much, that you not only give us living water, but you give us living water that gushes up into a spring of eternal life. We pray that you will bring us so close that we gush up so much that the water spills out and refreshes everyone around us, and that they want to know more of you, God. We seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Next is the hymn, Come, Thou Font of Every Blessing.
We pray as your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Song of Hope.
Now and always. Amen.